Adele is talking about development of a composer's sketchbook, and I guess it will be especially interesting for composers who are doing computer music and algorithmic composition. Thank you very much for being here, Bill.
Thank you, Chris. Yes, welcome. I'd like to talk about the development of my software composer sketchbook. This gets already mentioned. I'm in a role at the university where I'm teaching computer music and also software engineering. So, and also working as a composer who writes for instrumental music or instruments, and also combined live electronics with instruments, and also purely tape-based music. So, plus I'm also teaching programming, C++ mainly, and are doing a lot of also involved in industrial projects. First, I'll give you a little roadmap here. I'd like to talk in general terms about computer composition and why I would like to see my software. I'm going to talk about the algorithms that I'm already implemented there, and showing you a few examples. Then, talking about implementation issues and future developments possibilities. So, let's head into computer-assisted composition. At the first stages of the development, we've made a few decisions that it should be open source in order to let students get into the software, make alterations, and let also the user access it. And that led, obviously, to the decision of using the general public license. And C++ as the language in which you write the program in object-oriented ways. They decided to make this cross-platform, so generally to have the freedom to switch platforms if needed. This led to the decision of using the WX Widgets framework, commonly known as WX Windows, because that's a fairly stable and well-developed C++ framework in order to write graphic user interfaces for platforms. Also interesting in that respect is that there are also ports to embed it and handle PCs, so that might be also interesting. Now, as a composer writing for instruments or in the domain where you want to transfer scores also to other electroacoustic music, I see many applications there, and generally they're there for managing musical ideas, that means notice, melody structures, rhythms, also to tackle the problems of form. They generally deal with symbolic representations, so scores, notes, styles, Western traditional instrumentation, notation. And in that respect, I'm using a font which was designed by Christian Texier, which is freely available. And, also involves some symbolic libraries, which are quite interesting. So the other aspects of that CAC software could include managing sounds and managing performances. So if you wanted to, let's say, if you wanted to have a real-time composition environment or tackling problems of form, or creating open form or environments, that could be also part of a CAC application. What I'm presenting now is in a stage where I want to have an assistant, an intelligent assistant. That means having a sketchbook, basically. and so for transferring between ideas, transfer them into reality. I was always fascinated as a composer of all these sketchbooks, the old sketchbooks, for example, of Beethoven and Stravinsky and Schoenberg. I heard also that Beethoven also wants to put them online, which was quite interesting. So I want to have that software in order to play with that, to have a freedom of choice. That means that using the algorithms, I get some results that I can compare with my peers, having a choice between different solutions. And that minor changes of parameters directly lead to maybe surprising twists in the work, so having a kind of butterfly effect, if you like. Then one of the other advantages is to directly and immediately compare different solutions. So when I change something in the environment, you can directly compare and decide what I want to use. So the main idea is to have a database of our musical sounds in the program. And at this stage, at that moment, the cells are the free note cells. It came out of doing some music analysis, mainly of pieces by Schoenberg and Charles Ice. I played a lot of Schoenberg music on piano, and Charles Ice worked a wonderful violin and piano sonata. And looking at those scores, I investigated some very interesting properties of using motives and using basic music material, actually. What came out of this is, as you can see here, this is basically the database I'm currently using. I intend to have that as a database which can be edited by users, so user can completely change the database or modify it and so on. The main components are that you have four different cells from which I depart here. Yeah. So they are all going over the major and minor thirds, if you like. So they are actually, all the fours are going back to that, very simple. as a side note, a footnote here, there is current research also going on in a field of tonal analysis, of tonal music, where complete structures of tonal music is rooted back to our so-called Ursatz, which is Schenker theory, and this is just a melody of it, whether it's, so it's not purely related to that theory. What I found interesting here is by just processing those cells, I get a manifold of these 36 cells by doing two operations, basically permutate first cell, so and do this with all the others. Plus, introducing partial inversions. This is something which I detected or learned from Arnold Schoenberg in his pieces. So partial inversion means that you, for instance, take this structure here and make the inversion only with our first interval and keep the second interval original. Or you can do it the other way, where you keep the first interval original and invert the second one. So all that process here is connected with intervals. And that, interestingly, leads to a set here of cells which have quite interesting properties. When I went back then to Schoenberg, I looked at, for instance, his piano piece Opus 19, I could find out that every little combination of tones, basically, whether it's horizontal or vertical, can be traced back or can be identified as a cell out of that matrix. This was quite a surprise, but just dealing with those simple structures and doing just two operations, you get a set very actually, if you would analyze it, you would find so many relationships and also superimposed layers, so at the same time one note is part of that cell and at the same time it's part of another cell, so they are also interconnected. It's a very dense network of those cells. And so that came very really as a surprise. If you look at structures like this in bass line or structure here in the soprano, you would easily can easily identify the use of partial inversion, the process like I just explained with that. So those are the main issues here. So I take four of those Ursatz cells, so in major and minor modes, if you like. I do permutations of those cells, and I introduce that process of partial inversion. This partial inversion is very handy, it's very interesting because it creates greater variety as opposed to just use plain inversion. So this was actually a surprise to detect this. Now, keep that in mind that this database of cells is sitting there in the program, and also made experiments with different sets of cells, so actually also expanding the database. Now, talking about the algorithms which are then used in order to make these networks out of those cells. There's first an algorithm called fractal chaining, which takes one interval. I'm not talking only about melodic lines and structures, which takes one interval here and replaces that with a cell that is found in the database to match actually that interval here. Yeah, so the interval is replaced by a complete cell here. Now then you can go further and search for a match of that interval here. The database will come back with a match of a cell whose two intervals here sums up to that interval. But in that way you're having a generative way of creating bigger structures out of starting with a simple interval, that way, interestingly, it keeps the overall tendency of the first interval. So the end result will have the same notes at the start and the beginning. Then there are other algorithms like chaining algorithms. So starting with the cell from the database, looking at that interval, finding a match in the database where that interval is part of this upper cell, and so generating a new note. That new note can be checked by a history check. So in order to find out maybe is that a new pitch class? A pitch class would be then a unique new note introduced into the stream of the music sequence. This is an option you can have or you can switch it off. I will show you the example later. And then there is another chain method which just takes a one note here as an overlap are so just searching for a database, a cell in the database, and are making a chain here. As well, you can have the history check. Then combining those two algorithms is possible. It's just another mode of the algorithm, right? So the first algorithm and the second algorithm is here combined. So this basically would generate immediately three new nodes in the system. Then the possibility without any checks here is just randomly, if you like, connecting the database cells one after each other. So, the only condition is that interval, which has been chosen randomly, is actually a part of cells in the database. There's no history check going on, so this is the loose way of chaining. Okay, so let's have a look at some screenshots. So basically, this is the way the program looks. You would have options for inputting nodes via the computer keyboard. So this is mapped simply to MIDI nodes. So you can use the computer keyboard in order to type in nodes. But would that appear in the score? Here you have an example where already worked with some algorithms, and you can have a histogram where you have a list and you can see the percentage of occurrence. Obviously, this is producing a highly chromatic output, and with the aforementioned history check on, you can be sure that every node has a big chance of appearing. This is not generating 12 note music. A sort of term, I mean, of course, but it's not in the traditional way. It's done by the chaining of the cells. You can see you can use the mouse in order to select nodes, in order to delete nodes. You can have a ruler with the nodes and displaying pitch number you are actually on, so I'm transposing it. Just a few other screenshots, maybe. This is a kind of animation you could use for documentation purpose. So it's just very simple. So by using the keyboard, you would type in new nodes, and I can show you that now. It would immediately, in real time, play the nodes via MIDI interface. Then you have all the mouse interactions that you would expect here. So, do a fair amount of that kind of interface programming here. So, transposing the elements. Again, you would hear actually the episode. So here you have an example of doing the factor chaining. If you can do this in a sequence over and over again in order to generate larger and larger sequences. But you would always keep actually the overall tendency of the structure. Yeah, this is just to show that you will select your notes with the mouse and do all kinds of manipulations. Of course, you can select any sections within that structure and do the fractal or the chaining processes over and over again. You can go inside and change whatever you want inside this, that structure. So it's very open to those manipulations, and as well as this cut, copy, and paste. Right. I have also some animation here. I think this is showing now the chaining methods. There's a refresh option so that you this would actually give another shot and look at the database again and find maybe a different database cell. Right? I just wanted to skip over to the chain at this point, so you've seen that already. Yeah. Here you have the menu which gives you the options. Yeah, you can turn check history on and off. You can choose between the different rules which I explained in the also in the paper. And this is showing her not too much that histogram. This is actually without history, or not sure yet, or with or without history check, you would see different statistics coming up. So without history check, that would be more maybe centered towards some nodes which occurs more often than the others. And with history check on, you would create very smooth chromatic things here. Okay, maybe this should switch to another example. There you have the example of the chaining method, so using that algorithm would now build up the sequence using one of the chaining roots, either with history check on or off. Okay. So this gives you the idea, and as I said, using the different rules that would generate different structures, of course, because they are then building up the sequence with a very dense network of relationships or more loose relationships between the cells. Okay, well, finally, you can then export this as a MIDI file and employ it again in other programs. To continue with that, with the slides. Okay. Now, as you can see, that they're using the WX widgets, it's fairly easy to do the cross-platform. And going into some details here, What I'm using here, and you can read it also in the paper, is our hierarchy of classes, where I'm defining elements, music elements, like notes, and all the elements that you need for notation, like staffs and clefs and so on. The program then, as a file type, it would then produce text files where you can see here that the class names are exported together with the member variables of those objects so that they can be recreated when you load the file. So this all the program, as you can imagine, is heavily based on lists, on the manipulation of linked lists, and which gives that kind of flexibility that I actually want. Talking about the database implementation, it's very simple. I want to have a better, also graphics-based interface. So actually you need to compile the database cells. As you can see here, those are the node values of all the cells. As a user, you have to now to recompile it in order to use other cells if you want to have other structures. So that's a thing I need to do for the future to make this. If you select structures, you can easily you should be able to easily get it into the database and have a view of the database where you can delete certain cell members out of the database and replace them. Okay. So currently I'm also thinking of rendering the generated score in real time as a real time audio output. That's not implemented yet. Of course, this is at the beginning of the book project. I'm looking now at implementing the classes that would then allow to work on the timeline, actually, to work with rhythms. And I found out some quite interesting twists there. So in order to actually model articulation, so when a friendly user plays, for instance, piano, to take account the effect of what articulation has on the performance, so changing the time structure slightly. And I'm thinking about how to implement that and how to control that, basically. Then another add-on would be to have a context-free grammar editor. So you can imagine all the cells in the database can be part of a system where you have that as an entity and define your own rules. Have the program open so that the user can define via the editor their own rules in order to make the concatenations and the chaining and so on. Then, of course, polyphony is an issue. I want also to have a database of chords that you could easily introduce here. And then notation capabilities need to a great deal of that needs to be still implemented. It's just really at the beginning, but I'm looking forward to it. It seems to be quite straightforward using the framework and the classes that I have. Using that is also interesting because I can work on the algorithms and all the issues on the music side are separate from the graphic user interface, so that's fairly easy. If you want to look at the code, this is on my website, www.bone.de composer. You will see the material. I intend that the further the project will grow, maybe tend to put this on SourceForge as well. You need WX Windows, the GTK Plus version, in order to compile this program on Linux. And you need, from ED Design, you need the font Sonora. This is a free font, as I said, you need to install this PostScript font in order to run the program. As I said, he also makes other fonts for representing instruments and also electroacoustic for making electroacoustic scores. It's very easy to find, interesting to do something in the later stage. Okay? Have you got any questions? Or maybe playing some files? As I said, you can replace the database elements. So I also made experiments with the chaining of chords. So just by using major, minor, diminished, and what's the other thing over here? C, E, G, G sharp, yeah? That kind of chord. So with two major thirds. With just four chords, you can also make these kinds of concatenations. You can find out. Big chords or large number of notes with unique pitch classes. So let's just play a little bit the A files. This is just as a sequence of notes, just a few more. Okay, and maybe a longer sequence like this. SEQ. Roughly. GH. Etc. And you can store this file, you can work on this, make variations, and it's. I'd like to have that freedom, not only working with the algorithms, but also to make immediate changes, so that you can build up a sequence. If you feel like a package of files that you actually then will work with. So, yeah. Any questions?
Yes, any questions? Internet questions, yes.
Mario Lang would like to know, are there any plans to make the underlying algorithms and database available to users who cannot use graphical interfaces?
There are no plans as such, no. But it could be possible. I mean, you could take the sources and, for instance, make this a command line or a program. That would be somehow a little bit tricky.
Thanks. And another question. Which is from, let me see, Antonio Malara from Pisa, Italy. He says, can this technique be used for new styles of music that depend on sampled material of longer phrases, not just single notes?
Yes, that would be part of the future development where you can assign a map or the notes not just to just the standard MIDI notes, but also maybe to samples and sound sequences. Yes, that's in town.
And third question from Rémi Bernard from France. Could it be possible to have algorithmic composition in various music styles, such as pop, rock, jazz, blues, etc.? And if possible, how would you see that possibility?
Yes, that would be fairly possible. This is why I introduced the scheme in the project that you can replace the database by anything you like. So, but as I said, the editor for the database is missing, so actually you need to compile the database over and over again. But generally, I think this is possible. And also, if I'd like to add, there will be possibilities to play with microtonal structures as well. So it's not that I'm restricted to this 12-minute chromatic scheme.
Okay, a question from you in the room.
Frank Barkley from Germany. Just one question regarding the future, where you talk about or mentioned doing rhythm. Have you already thought about what kind of approach you would use about for making this rhythm integration, or how to generate the rhythm and the patterns?
Yes, I thought about that. And you can think of cells again, of little rhythmic cells, but some different processes, like for instance diminishing notes, rhythmic entities, by some very small entity. So for example, if you have a rhythm of a quarter note and two 16th note, yeah, then maybe I would diminish at the next step the quarter note by a 32nd note and keep the 2/16th note original. And then making permutation processes with that rhythmic cell as well, and having maybe also filter processes where you filter out entities from the rhythmic cell, yeah, or going into the quarter note, if you like, and replace that quarter note by another rhythmic cell. And so building up more complex, more fractal-like rhythmic structures. And I'm thinking in that way.
Okay, there's another question from the room.
Tom, just a musical question. Why you were using the histogram to balance the pitch classes rather than the intervallic content?
I'm using the intervallic content. Perhaps I haven't explained that thoroughly enough. The program only looks at the intervals, not at the pitch classes. But maybe I understand the question of why I'm doing the history check and all that. In order to introduce notes.
Yeah,
is that more on that?
Yeah, I thought the history check was.
Yeah, of course. This is using analysis of the pitch class content, of course. Yeah, well, because the output is pretty different. If you have that history check on, it would be, in the lines of the that aesthetic, giving all the notes equal chance to appear in that sequence. If you turn it off, then you might get zones where you have or another note taking over maybe the predominance. So it's just an option. You can use it or use not.
Okay. There's another question from the internet.
Yes, Arnold Kindle from Germany would like to know, have you already done longer compositions using this tool?
Not yet, no. But I wanted to add that one of the driving force was to model ways of thinking, basically, which I developed as a composer. And so that's already there, so it's actually ready to use.
Any other questions from here? No, it seems not. So we say goodbye to the internet users now, and we switch to the workshops. And many thanks to Georg for this talk. Thank you.
Ja, dann muss man sich nur den einzelnen Fragen, die zustimmen, die zustimmen, machen.